Facebook coming clean Wednesday, admitting it uncovered $100,000 in political ad dollars it received from a sketchy operation probably connected to Russia. The world's leading social network making the admission after conducting an internal probe. So what did it find out? These ads, which promoted divisive social and political messages on gay rights, immigration, and race relations, were shown on Facebook for a two-year period ending in May.
Stanley Fischer has been at the Fed since 2014. His term expires in June of 2018, and it was widely expected that he might not be reappointed or that he might want to retire. But he was expected to be sort of the person who helped lead the Fed through a transition from Janet Yellen to a new Fed chair, should Donald Trump make that decision to replace Janet Yellen. And now he appears to be leaving.
So I think modernizing our tax code, making it simpler, making it fair. And I think you might see a middle-class tax cut potentially as part of this package. But there's obviously a lot to be done, and we're all going to be watching very carefully. This fall is going to be an important time to see whether they can kind of get the kind of consensus to move an issue this important forward. I think they can make significant progress this fall. I wouldn't be surprised if the actual bill, signing of the bill or enacting the law doesn't occur until sometime in early 2018. But if they make enough progress this fall, I think they have the ability to move it early next year.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It is September 7th, 2017. 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. Coming up a little bit later in the program, the changing face of the Pullman neighborhood. A couple of new developments have been announced for the Pullman neighborhood, and we'll be talking with Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives later in the show. Lots of jobs potentially coming to the area and some exciting new developments that we will go over a little bit later on The Opening Bell. You heard there in the opening montage the situation with Facebook, the advertisements apparently purchased by Russia. The new development in that story this morning is that Facebook has announced it has turned over all of the information regarding that, including data, to the special prosecutor, the special counsel Robert Mueller, and his investigation into Russian meddling into the 2016 election. That could be a big deal in terms of following the dots back to whoever purchased that advertisement, advertisements, and maybe help shed a little light on what happened there. Obviously, the fake news and the promotional information that swayed so many voters going into the 2016 election, Facebook apparently having a big role in that, accepting advertisements. A couple of other big stories we'll get to. First, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. In Asia this morning, stocks generally are mixed as investor relief over a deal on the U.S. borrowing limits apparently offset by uncertainty over the departure of a senior Fed official. You heard that in the opening montage as well. There's still some lingering North Korean tensions that are impacting investors. In Japan, the benchmark Nikkei and South Korea's index are up, finished up. The Shanghai Composite, Hong Kong's Hang Seng, and Taiwan's benchmark have dropped. Here are the numbers as we see them. The Nikkei going to finish the day up about 40 points. The Hang Seng down about 90. The Shanghai off about 20. In Europe, markets are generally higher, with the DAX leading the way. In Germany, up about 116 points. That's good for a percent. The CAC in France up about 0.5%. The FTSE in London is up about 0.25%. Oil is trading at $49.01 a barrel this morning as U.S. futures have a little weakness pointing toward opening losses when the bell rings later this morning. Dow futures off 20, NASDAQ futures off about 0.5%, and S&P futures are down about 2 this morning. Gold and silver are both trading higher. A couple of stories we're watching for you. First of all, with regard to the economy, the Federal Reserve Beige Book yesterday shows the U.S. economy expanded at a modest to moderate pace in July through mid-August. That's according to the notes and the surveys conducted by the Fed. Signs of an acceleration in inflation, though, remain slight, according to the Beige Book. According to the writing of the book yesterday, prices rose modestly overall across the country. But the information shows a little weakness, according to the policymakers. They've raised interest rates twice this year, but the prospect of a third in 2017 appears increasingly uncertain now. And this Beige book certainly lends a little credence to that. Another information about the state of the economy. Retailers, the nation's largest retail trade group, has downgraded its annual forecast after a slew of government data revisions. The National Retail Federation says it now expects retail sales to increase between 3.2% and 3.8% this year, down from a previous forecast for an increase of 3.7 to 4.2%. This comes after the Census Bureau revised retail sales figures downward, and the Bureau of Economic Analysis lowered its figures for personal income and consumption. It is Thursday, and it's a Thought Leader Thursday, as it always is. In our Thought Leader conversation this morning, Doug Myers is here. He's a Senior Vice President, Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. And our conversation this morning is going to focus a little bit on back to school. Doug, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
A little chill in the air, a little autumn chill. How was your summer?
Summer seemed to fly by. Yeah. You know, you turn around and now it's fall.
Right.
And I'm thinking about what happened to the summer. It just was yesterday. We were in May.
Right. And I feel like before long, we'll be talking about snow and winter. And
it'll be here probably next week before you know it.
Well, one of the things that comes along with fall is back to school. And lots of parents sent their kids to college this fall. Some went back to college for another year. We found a WalletHub survey that talks about college and wealth management. It's not something you think of college kids thinking about or parents thinking about for their kids. A couple of things at play were how much debt college kids are in from student loans, but then how much they're actually earning when they get out of school. It presents some challenges for wealth management, doesn't it?
It presents huge challenges, and I have two kids in college myself right now, and I think the wealth management and financial planning discussions revolve more around the parents than the students right now, because we have to figure out how to pay for these ridiculous college tuition bills that, that come around this time of year. And it's significant, and it's amazing how much college tuition costs have risen over the past, you know, look at 20 years. You know, the inflation rate has been very nominal over the past 20 years, and you look at college costs going up, you know, 5, 10, 15% a year for the past 20 years. It's astounding how much it takes to educate our children.
Yeah. What should that discussion be? Obviously, it should probably include the parents and the kids, or the kids if they're paying for their own school. But what should be the focus of that conversation?
Well, it's interesting because as millennials are in college and come out of college, there's a lot of challenges they face. Number one, they face how to get a job and pay off student loans, which are significant now. If you read the average student coming out of college, the average student loan is something like $20,000+. But, you know, you hear stories about, you know, you go to law school or you go to medical school on top of that. These kids are coming out of college with $80,000, $100,000, $150,000 of debt, which is a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so they're paying these school debts. They can't afford to buy homes because they already have a mortgage in the student loan debt. So that presents a challenge. And the other challenge with these students is getting a job. And they might have a degree in sociology, for example, or the arts. And their salaries are very low coming out of these programs. And so it's a double whammy, so to speak, on how they establish themselves as an adult and start budgeting and start preparing for a life and getting married and having kids and buying cars and buying houses and things. And it's a big challenge for these kids. On the other side of the equation, the adults, you know, how do you prepare for saving for college tuition? As we counsel our clients and sit down and have financial planning meetings, I think it's so important to start early and save a significant amount of your paycheck every month. And, you know, when I was coming out of college, my dad always said, save 10%. And as long as you start saving when you're 21 versus 35, if you save 10% every year of what you make or every month, you're going to be fine. But the statistics are, if you start at 21 versus if you're 31 or 35 or even 40, like a lot of people do, there's no catch up. You cannot catch up and prepare when you're starting that late. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's interesting you compare it to a mortgage, because some of the terms of these student loans are 20 years, 20-plus years, and so they have this debt they're carrying with them. The survey we were referring to is from WalletHub.com and says Illinois ranks 15th for student indebtedness for loans and 25th in terms of the student's ability after they graduate to earn the potential to pay off their debt. So we're kind of halfway in the middle of one and close to the top of the other.
And it's interesting with the budget crisis we face in Illinois, and I know the colleges have certainly been a beneficiary of the problems of the Illinois budget process, or lack thereof, I might say, and it becomes even more important for students to borrow to go to these schools because there's less state funds that the schools are getting. And I think it's it exacerbates the problem for these students.
I often hear the term perfect storm. I hate using that term, but in this case, I think it applies because you have the situation with wages being pretty much stagnant in the economy. The student loan problem is actually impacting the national economy now because of some of the things that you mentioned, the home thing, but it's also, you know, keeping kids from participating fully in the economy. It feels like it's unsustainable, that all of these different things compiling to make this problem are unsustainable.
Well, it's interesting because I do read about the millennials, and we're talking about millennials who are just coming out of college or might be in college right now. The statistics were they weren't buying homes. You know, they're buying these small or renting these small apartments, and that's kind of the trend right now, that they wanted to be mobile and they wanted to be free of things. Mm-hmm. And I think the tide is turning, and I think as they become, you know, a little bit older, they're getting in their late 20s, early 30s, that in fact they are buying houses now, and they're buying the things that we as adults have always done as well. And so I think that trend is turning. It's going to look a little different, I think, with the younger set right now because of the student debt issue and the things we're talking about.
One area of employment for a lot of folks, and it's growing, is we call it the gig economy, whether it's driving for Uber or being a host on Airbnb or you name it. By 2020, 43% of the country could be employed in the gig economy. What challenges does that present for wealth management?
I think the challenge is, as these people that you mentioned are exploring other forms of the economic sort of the picture, so to speak, you know, they don't have the traditional pension plan. They don't have the traditional 401k. They're self-employed. And I think the challenge is to sit down with clients and say, look, you have got to start preparing for your future, and you've got to start setting up your IRA if you don't have the 401k from a traditional company that some of us have had in our careers. And I think you have to start thinking about, you know, if you're making $100 a week, you have to set aside $10 a week. And, you know, if you can do that once again when you're young and early, you're going to be taken care of as you get older. But, you know, you can't rely on the company or you can't rely on the pension plan to take care of you anymore. It's got to be on your own fruition. And I think you've just got to realize, these clients have to realize, that it's up to them to start saving. And that's a hard concept when you're early and young. Mm-hmm. I think you have to, you know, as you get older, you mature, and it becomes more important. But I think you have to, especially for the younger people in participating in this type of economy, you really have to set goals and plans and stick to it. And that's the only way you're going to survive, is if you have a roadmap and follow it and stick to it.
Have wealth managers shied away from this group over the infancy of the beginning of it, the gig management or the gig employees, because of their earnings? Or how would you describe the wealth manager's interaction with the gig economy?
I mean, that's a really good question, Steve. I think when we talk about wealth management, you know, we get a little nearsighted and talk about people that have a lot of money. And those are the kind of people that need our help in asset allocation and figuring out tax planning and estate planning and those complicated issues as you get, you know, you have more means and get older in your stage of life, so to speak. And I don't think the younger people are real served very well with the wealth managers or the financial planners, because they're, I think they are overlooked at some point. I think a lot of the banks and a lot of the firms are focusing on the wealthy segment, and that's kind of the wealth management segment that we've always been in. But I think it's going to be more and more important as we go forward to address these issues. I think you bring up very good points.
We're also seeing, too, the marketing of some of the top wealth managers in the country change a little bit. One of the groups, eMoney, is starting to focus some of its advertising on the gig economy, actually going out in their ads and saying, hey, we know you're working job to job, but still we want to manage your wealth. Is that something that has to change too?
I think so, and I think that's smart for firms to address. I mean, if you look at the demographics, it's a big number and getting bigger. And I think it's smart for these firms to focus on this demographic for their wealth management, financial planning, and for their financial selling financial products to these kind of people.
We found an interesting article that talks about Ben Franklin, one of the founding fathers, talking about the economy and wealth management and personal finance. And going through the list of things here that he said way back in his time, they apply today. He talks about frugality and saving. He talks about debt and complacency. Isn't it amazing that some of the things that he talked about, and this was like one of the first personal finance managers, is still alive today?
It is amazing. And these concepts that he is quoted in saying is more relevant today probably than ever.
Yeah, Ben Franklin's book, I think it was called Way of Wealth, was published in 1758. And he talks about one of the things you mentioned earlier about saving 10%, I think, is in there. Talks about don't keep up with the Joneses, all of those sorts of things. Does this sort of stuff change, or will it change, or will this be the Bible forever?
I don't think so. I look at this article that we're reading, and I think these are the same things I'm trying to tell my children.
Yeah. He says at one point, he said, make sure that your asset allocations of your savings is aligned with your stage in life. That sort of sounds like what you just said about 10% going into savings.
Absolutely. It's a time-honored tradition of financial advice that I think is very, as I said, very relevant today, probably more relevant than even back then.
You know, as we come to the close of the year, you're going to do your predictions are going to be due. Have you thought about yet what the end of the year predictions are going to be? Or
we have. I think the stock market has been continually strong this year. It's had a few dips recently, but I think overall it remains strong. I think we're still seeing a trend for higher interest rates. I think we're looking at a couple of interest rate increases next year. They haven't been as prevalent as we thought this year. There's been two or three, but I think we're going to see a couple more next year. I think as the economy continues to roll along, the stock market continues to be strong. The unemployment numbers are very low, so I think if you look at the statistics going into next year, things look good, and I think we're anticipating another strong year in the markets, and I think we're going to be fine.
Do you think when the year is said and done that we'll look at our portfolios and all of us who are in wealth management will be happy by what we see from this year?
I think so. The market has been good, and like I said, we've had some dips, and of course the world is very volatile right now, and there's things going on that could affect it. But I think if you stay the course, and I think if you keep to your roadmap and stick to your plan, that's what we tell our clients. And I think it has served us well up to this point.
Doug, it's always good talking with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President, Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can listen to past conversations, too, at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page. You can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership and listen to all of our conversations as well. Make sure you follow Associated Biz on Twitter. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you along in our Thursday edition. Developers are planning more than 1 million square feet of distribution space in the Pullman neighborhood. It's the second major development there, promises to create thousands of jobs. Joining us now is David Doig. He's the president at Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, which is deeply involved in all of this. David, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be on.
Thank you for being with us this morning. This is a big deal because it's the second, as I mentioned, Whole Foods is the other. Tell us what this plan involves.
Yeah, well, we the first phase we opened about 2 years ago, and that was anchored by a company named Method. They make hand soaps, and we were able to attract them from California, and that was about 150,000 square feet. And we're just finishing, as you mentioned, the new distribution center for Whole Foods. This was their Midwest distribution center, which is also about 150,000 square feet and another 150 jobs. And so what we're proposing now with the Ryan Companies, which is a national industrial developer headquartered in the Twin Cities, is a development of the remaining 62 acres. Just so your listeners know, the site is right off of the Bishop Ford I-94, right at 103rd, between 103rd and 111th. So it's got great highway access, rail access. And our mission is really to focus on bringing jobs to the community. And we think that bringing large industrial users and distribution companies creates those kind of living wage jobs that we can use to benefit the community and ultimately improve the neighborhood.
I mentioned in the opening thousands of jobs. Do you got a sense of just how many jobs might be happening?
Well, if our history is any kind of indicator, we've with Method and Whole Foods, we also developed some retail. We did a new Walmart and a few other mid-box retailers. We've created almost 1,000 jobs already just in the last 5 years. So we feel like this is a continuation of that, and focusing again on the industrial and manufacturing jobs.
This has obviously been part of the city that's lost jobs over many years, and it's been sad to see that happening. Would you say that this is the turnaround for the area? And talk to me a little bit about how you see this playing out in the future.
Sure. Yeah. No. I think in a lot of ways, people's perception of the South Side and the far South Side in particular is clouded by, as you mentioned, years of disinvestment. So this area used to be the hub of the steel industry in Chicago. That left in the 60s and 70s, and so this is really I think a sign of the area's rebirth. What's interesting about our area more generally is we have this amazing confluence of transportation infrastructure. When you look at the highways that that service the area, you look at the rail lines. We have all five of the Class A railroads that have facilities in the broader kind of Calumet area. We have a port that can get raw materials up through the St. Lawrence Seaway out to the Atlantic or down to New Orleans via the Mississippi. So there are very few places in the world that have the kind of transportation infrastructure that we're blessed with here in the Calumet area. And so we really believe that transportation logistics is the future of the area. It's we have a lot of developable land, and as I mentioned, the infrastructure is already there.
Yeah, when you look at this from up above, it seems almost perfectly suited. This development perfectly suited for this location. We've been talking a lot about the warehouses and the distribution aspect of this, but there's also other things happening in Pullman with homes and other kinds of developments. Tell us about those.
Yeah, well, what's also interesting about Pullman is its rich history, and so. Pullman was one of the first kind of worker towns, planned communities that George Pullman created back in the 1880s, and we were fortunate a couple years ago to have President Obama come to Pullman and create a national park. So we have the only national park in all of Chicago and only the second one in Illinois, and so we're also thinking about opportunities for drawing tourists and getting more people down to understand the rich history of the area and Pullman. And part of that is redeveloping some of the housing in the neighborhood. We have these wonderful Pullman Row homes that have in many cases fallen into disrepair, and so we're able to acquire those, rehab them, and then ultimately resell them as affordable housing. And so it's part of a comprehensive strategy that involves many aspects of development, all with the intended purpose of bringing jobs and improving the community.
And the National Monument you talked about, I think all of that's going to be up and running by 2019. If you had to look into the future, like let's say 2019, 2020, what do you think the area is going to look like?
Well, I think you're going to see much of the existing fabric, the existing stock of the community will be rehabilitated. We're, as you mentioned, developing a new visitor center, which is the iconic Pullman Clock Tower that will be rehabbed and developed into the visitor center. That will kind of anchor the national monument, and so I think you'll continue to see improvement. I think you'll see more retail. We have plans for eventually bringing a hotel. And really creating a destination for folks from the city, but also from the broader area to come to Pullman. We have wonderful historical resources that we'd love to showcase. We think that this invites a lot of preservationists, architects, train enthusiasts that are just interested in the neighbor's history.
This has to be the marquee work of your organization, the Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is where we've spent the last 7 years, kind of focusing our activity. We've kind of seen it get started, and now it's great to see it kind of continue. In a lot of ways, Pullman was an innovator and a bit ahead of his time in the 1880s, and we hope that we can show the way when it comes to new industrial development, clean, green development. We have, as I mentioned, Method Soap, great company. They're the leading cleaning company that uses green technology, green ingredients, and on their roof is actually the largest rooftop greenhouse in America. It's a company called Gotham Greens. They grow about 1 million pounds of leafy greens off of the rooftop of Method, and again, a real innovation. And so, anyways, we hope that Pullman can lead the way in terms of the next generation of what good, responsible, equitable development looks like.
Well, it's going to be very exciting to see all of this unfold. Congratulations and good luck going forward.
Thank you.
All right, David Doig is the president of Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives. By the way, you can find out more about the organization. Visit them online at cnigroup.org.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. There's a little developing business news this morning that involves up to 50,000 new jobs and $5 billion in investment. Amazon has announced it's starting a search for a second headquarters, and it's promising to spend more than $5 billion on the site. The online giant based in Seattle says the new site would come with up to 50,000 jobs. The announcement unlikely now to set off a mad scramble among cities vying to make the shortlist. The company estimates the investments in Seattle between 2010 and 2016 added $38 billion to that city's economy. Cities and states are being advised by Amazon to visit a website for more information to possibly get in line for that new development. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off about 6. S&P and NASDAQ futures are flat this morning. The latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. In yesterday's trade of this holiday shortened trading week, corn futures hit a two-week high on a mix of short covering and worries about the pace of U.S. crop maturity in its weekly crop conditions report this week. The USDA said 12% of the corn crop is mature. That's behind the five-year average of 18%. And that slow maturity, they worry, could delay the harvest, which normally begins this month. Then turning to the story in livestock trade yesterday, live cattle futures finished higher thanks to firmer cash beef prices. The October live cattle contract up 27 cents at $104.70 a hundredweight, and the October lean hog contract ended down at by 20 cents, but the December contract finished 10 cents higher at $60.27. Well, today, day number two of the Sandwich Fair at Sandwich, Illinois, and the last opportunity really to see a fairly close-in county fair in the Chicago area. And Max Armstrong was there yesterday with good weather. I'll be there today at noontime with our band, The Back Pages. And we look forward to saying hello to a lot of new friends And then we'll judge the beef cook-off starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's the Sandwich Fair. And thank you for joining us. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, it's September 7th. Couple of major economic reports today. Labor Department, of course, reporting regularly as it does today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits over the last week. The department will also issue revised data on productivity in the second quarter. This week's average U.S. mortgage rates will be reported by Freddie Mac. A couple of other things today. New York Fashion Week, spring and summer 2018, gets underway. And the NFL season begins today, later on this evening. Kansas City Chiefs at the reigning Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots, a 7:30 Chicago time start for the kickoff of the NFL season. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, September 7th.